This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Four shows, 3 days away from the NFL draft. Texans looking to improve their roster. They're going to have the 23rd overall selection, which you'll hear right here on Sports Radio 610 on Thursday. Then on Friday, this is when Brian Gain gets extra happy. They're going to have two picks in the second round, 54 and 55 overall. And then in the third, the 86th overall. Those are going to be on Friday. And then they'll select the rest of their draft on Saturday. We'll have you covered right here on Sports Radio 610. We're going to be out at NRG on Thursday, so come by, say hi. Maybe we can even have a few drinks. John Lopez has the money, so just go to John. Just ask him to get you beer. He's got you.
What?
Well, I don't know. Brian Gain. Here's Brian Gain talking about why he loves, not Thursday, but he loves Friday in the second round.
If we sat still and didn't do anything at 54 and 55, we're going to get two very good players just based on our counts. Kind of when we look at basically the top 60 players in this draft, I'm excited about the idea of getting at least three of those players if we just stood still. And I think we're going to get two very good players at 54, 55 if we just sat there and took those players.
I'm intrigued by this. I like back-to-back picks. I don't know why. I mean, obviously you like more draft picks.
Yeah.
But when you got back-to-back picks, I love it. I'm intrigued.
I mean, look, there are going to be some big-time players available at 54 and 55. I mean, that's just it. You just got to get it right. I mean, you can't afford.
Is that kind of like make shots in basketball?
Well, I guess kind of. But look, you just don't want to look bad. I mean, you know, there's going to be some great players taken, like great, not just serviceable, you know, contributors, but great players taken in the second round that we'll know in the next 2-3 years that they're great. If you go 54, 55 and you strike out twice, that's a bad look, man. But look, all evidence says that he can get it done here.
I've kind of come full circle. I threw out, and we'll get more into it, four guys that could slide to the Texans that aren't offensive linemen or cornerbacks that I think Brian Gaines should select if they're there. But I've kind of changed as I've done more and more homework, and I've looked up and studied more the prospects. Of all the cornerbacks, I've become infatuated with DeAndre Baker. And I know
I've liked him all along. He's not fast. Well, he's fast, but he's not fast, but he's quick. he makes plays, man.
He makes plays, and he comes from Georgia. And I know a lot of people are Greedy Williams fans, and there's not much to not like about Greedy Williams. But the thing about DeAndre Baker that I like the more that I study is, first of all, he has a 6'5 wingspan. So a lot of people talk about Greedy Williams having the size. DeAndre Baker has a massive wingspan.
The radius, the catch radius.
Number two, he started 34 games at Georgia, which I think is pretty good. I think you have to be pretty good to start 34 games in 3 years at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That's number two. Number three, he won the Thorpe Award last year. And number four, and this is another thing that I think is interesting, because we talk about pedigrees and we talk about Justin Reed and we talk about how, you know, Justin Reed came from that pedigree of football players and it had him in position to be a pro.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Baker, although there's been question about his work ethic in college, Deion Sanders has taken him under his wing to where he works out a lot with him in the summer. And he played for Antonio Brown's dad in high school. So Antonio Brown's dad was his coach. And say what you want about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's work ethic has never been questioned by anybody, not even the Steelers. So I think he comes from a pedigree, and he just has the resume to where if all the corners are there, I've become a DeAndre Baker, not Greedy Williams guy.
Yeah, I like his just watching him. I mean, and it's not like I studied DeAndre Baker for the last 3 years, but it's like every time I watch Georgia play, somewhere along the line he's making a play that's a significant one, and if not intercepting the ball or whatever it is. No, he certainly has – he's a football player. I mean, again, not to be too trite, you know, and cliche, but the guy just plays – he's a football player.
Rakia Sin is a guy that's been soaring up many draft boards. I think that's Seth's guy, and that's Paul's guy as well. I think Rakia Sin is a guy, there's so much smoke and fire there to where I don't even think he's going to, I think he might be the first cornerback taken, and I think this is going to be a guy where in the top 15, the 20 range or something like that, where we're not expecting to see it happen, I think Rakia Sin could be the guy that just out of nowhere ends up getting picked. There's too much hype around this guy right now, and we see it happen a lot where when you hear all this hype, eventually someone likes him so much that they go up and get him. I could see Rakia Sin not even being there when the Texans select.
He's been ranked as low as the eighth best cornerback in this draft. But here's the thing about I don't know a lot about him. I mean, he's not a guy that he went to Temple.
I can't pretend to.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend. You know that I know what he does and watched him like.
I mean, I watched a few of his games. He was always pretty hyped up when they played, but I don't know what makes him better than Greedy Williams.
That's what I'm saying. I've seen Greedy Williams. I like Julian Love from Notre Dame. I've seen him a lot, and obviously I've seen DeAndre Baker a lot as you just talked about. This guy I have not. But here's what I do know. These rumors don't get out by accident. If it's not the agent doing it, it's somebody in the organization telling the agents, that so and so, they've heard so and so is in love with him. But what is it? What season is it again?
Lying season.
The draft does not lie. This is lying season. The lying stops on Thursday. I don't see Rakia Sin elevating, climbing. I really don't. He went to a smaller school. He's been ranked 7th, 8th best cornerback. I think this is, again, the epitome of people are sending stuff out there to try to manipulate where they're.
You want to bet a grasshopper?
Okay, where is he? Where do you think he's going to get?
He won't be on the board at 23.
Rakia Sin will not be on the board at 23.
I mean, the odds are against me. I just feel like this is going to be the guy that surprisingly leaves early.
He will absolutely be on the board at 23.
Okay, that's a grasshopper bet.
Grasshopper bet.
Mark it, Figgy. That's our new way of betting. You have to eat a grasshopper on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Rakia Sin, if he's there at 23, then I'm going to have to eat a grasshopper. I mean, it's not a big deal. It wasn't as bad as I thought.
Well, it is. You've got a bunch of grasshoppers in your belly.
Yeah. Well, it's supposedly good, though. I think protein's pretty good for you. Tackles, of course, the other position that a lot of people are talking about the Texans need. And, you know, there's all kind of speculation about when these tackles are going to go, which tackle the Texans like. I know a lot of people have been talking about that.
Are you buying this Peter King thing about Andre Dillard being the top guy in the Texans board as an offensive lineman?
I mean, sure.
Sure. Whatever you say, Mike. I like your answer on that. You're on a roll today. I liked your Dak Prescott take. I like that. Sure, Mike.
I mean, what am I supposed to say? Peter King's a liar?
Yeah, what does he know?
Well, he's an idiot. I don't know. Peter King, I'm not buying it. You know what? I actually think they like this Dillard fella or this Taylor fella out of Florida. What am I supposed to say about that?
I think the right answer would have been no, I don't buy it. That way you would have gone like 20 minutes with Mike on his love of Peter King.
Are you buying this?
Yeah.
Yes, I am, Mike. I am buying that. Jalen Ramsey's agent responded to Tom Coughlin criticism last week at the Jags press conference. His agent, David Mulligetta, said, to be clear, Jalen Ramsey is exactly where Jalen should be during his offseason, said this via Twitter. He's spending his time with his young daughter and family while training in his hometown of Nashville. In addition, the Jags are fully aware of why he's not taking part in voluntary offseason program. So a little bit of drama there in Jacksonville. You fully expected the agent to come out. The NFLPA came out on behalf of him as well for Coughlin's comments. This is the most surprising thing from that quote. I did not know Jalen Ramsey was from Nashville.
Yeah, that was news to me when I saw that he was working out at home in Nashville. I didn't know that either. Coughlin just looks bad here. He does really look like the old school, that's not the way we used to do it guy.
That's what he's always been.
But he's gonna have to do one of two things: fix this by apologizing and saying he was wrong and that he realized that it was voluntary, and he'll see Jalen Ramsey when he sees him, or he's gonna have to just dig his heels in the ground and risk losing Jalen Ramsey at some point. Now I know he's got 2 years left on his contract, but still. Lose him in more ways than one.
Yeah, they'll pick up his fifth-year option for sure. Yeah, so he's from Tennessee. Very interesting. He originally committed to – I didn't know he committed to USC and then ended up going to Florida State. So just another one that got out of the state of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Nashville, that's cool. It's a cool little area. It looks cool on Very Cavallari. Looks cool on that reality show, Very Cavallari, which I know that you frequent very much. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Sports Radio 610. That's a lie if we're talking about lying season. Rockets with a chance to close out the Jazz tonight in Utah, looking to advance the second round against the Golden State Warriors, who are on top of the Clippers 3-1. I'll go ahead and say that they move on. I already said that the Jazz would win game three, but I'm not even going to make a prediction for this one. I'm just going to ask you, OG, do the Rockets close out Utah tonight?
Yes. I think it's inevitable at this point. The Rockets, let's look at the game Saturday night. I mean, you had a chance, you, as in winning the bet, you had a chance to come off looking fantastic. Because everything that the...
But I didn't want to.
You didn't want to in terms of what you thought would happen. Literally everything that the Jazz wanted in that game, they got. James Harden started slow. They were defending him well. Rockets got in foul trouble. They were cold just pretty much everywhere. Rudy Gobert showed up and wound up being a presence. They got contributions from all their guys as well.
Harden started 0-15.
0-15, yeah. Everything that the Jazz could have wanted in that game, they got. And they lost. It's over. I said it Friday. This one is going to be just if the Rockets have a lead in the third quarter, it's going to be just garbage time for quarter and a half in the second half.
If you hold James Harden to 3 of 20 shooting,
blouses.
Then lose. You should just forfeit the series. Like,
yeah.
I'm serious. Like, Utah shouldn't even get off the bus. If you do that and then you lose, you should fold the franchise. It should be done. Like, that's terrible. I did think that the series would look more like it did in game three, as opposed to how it did in games one and two. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be a little bit more fought, but we're heading towards a crash course between the Rockets and the Warriors. And let's be honest, this is basically the default NBA Finals. And the reason I say that is because I think there's other teams that have a chance against the Rockets as the playoffs move on, specifically on the other side, Milwaukee, assuming they get past the Warriors.
That's the one, yeah, that's the one.
But nobody else can beat the Golden State Warriors. The Rockets are the only team that can beat the Warriors. They're the only team that the Warriors pay attention to during the regular season. You hear them always talking about it. So if the Rockets aren't able to beat the Warriors, they're going to cruise and they're going to win their fourth championship in 5 years. You can just go ahead and mark that in Sharpie on your forehead. Austin Rivers asked about James Harden's struggles and his poor start. 0-15, actually historic. This is what Austin Rivers had to say about that.
You know, listen, we're going to live or die with James. We'll never complain whether he goes 10 for 10 or 0 for 30. You can't be happy with him being Superman every single day, and then one day when he becomes human, you start blaming him. You know, he's the biggest reason why we are where we are, and we're going to continue to trust him. And he came through when it mattered. In the fourth quarter, he had big shots, had free throws. And the bottom line is we have his back.
100%. I mean, he's 100% right. It was astounding watching Harden, man. Like, when is he going to put the ball in the...
He yammed it with frustration.
Yeah, he did.
When he finally made it, he got that little break, and he made damn sure that went in because he tomahawked it right in there as he started out 1 of 16. But James Harden was still creating, still got the job done, and that's a gutsy win. I'm not sure that James Harden keeps the same energy that he had throughout the course of that game despite the struggles in the past. But he looks like he looks mature. The Rockets are rolling, and see you soon, Golden State.
Well,
see you soon.
And that reminds me of, you know, I was listening to the Morning Guys today, and Mike Meltzer was talking about how it was imperative they, you know, they go ahead and close it out tonight because that way they get the more rest and they're able to prepare for Golden State. Look, Golden State's going to close it out on Wednesday, and they're at home. I mean, this is a total fabrication that this game matters in terms of, I mean, it might matter a small bit in terms of rest and stuff. It's the Rockets that have to travel to Golden State. You know, the Warriors are at home. They're at home today.
Let me put it this way.
And they're playing Wednesday at home. And then they'll wait for 2 days because the NBA is not going to schedule the Rockets to play there on Thursday. So at least Friday, Saturday, 2 or 3 days at home. It's the Rockets that are going to be put out.
The Rockets did what they needed to do on Saturday. You needed to win 1 of 2 in Utah. That's really realistically what you needed to do. Mm-hmm. They were 29-12 heading into that game at home. The goal, they won't openly say this. Of course, you want to win every game you play. But when you get on that bus and you're a coach and Mike D'Antoni's having meetings with the staff, obviously publicly they'll say we want to finish this off and come back. But the goal, the realistic goal. And you can speak on this too, OG. You've been covering the NBA for 3+ decades, you want to win one of two.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, they've already.
They've already done what they needed to do.
It's all gravy from here. It's absolutely all gravy from here. But again, this whole concept of you got to win it today so you get your rest.
No.
The Warriors are in the better position here. Presuming they win at home on Wednesday.
Oh, they will.
Yeah.
That thing's over. 9:30 tip, by the way. Mike Meltzer was not happy with the late tip time. You've worked that schedule. I've worked that schedule. It's what you need to do, Mike. Go home. Take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up. Watch the game. Take another nap. Come in. Talk about it.
Yeah.
It's late. It's all right. We can stay up a couple hours late. You'll be okay. I'm tired of people complaining about how late these tip-offs are. It's the playoffs. Knuckle up. If you're going to ask James Harden, Chris Paul, all these guys to reach deep within themselves and find something in order to win games, then reach down deep within yourself and stay up till midnight.
I don't like it.
You'll be okay.
But it's not the end of the world here, man. It's not okay. Yeah, it's going to be all right.
It'll be all right. Just get you a nap in and reach deep and fight so that we can watch the Rockets versus
Find
that extra gear. Let it happen. You'll be all right. By the way, props to P.J. Tucker, too. They don't win that one without him.
Yeah,
the toughness
no
he
doubt.
Showed. He got that rebound against the at the end of the game when the Rockets were up three. Got that rebound, got fouled, hit the free throw, basically iced it. I mean, he was a power forward at the University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to bang. And I know he's playing the four at the start of games now with him starting the three guards with Harden, Paul, and him. But he adds some toughness. You know who else adds toughness? And it's kind of weird because he had a reputation as kind of a sissy boy.
What?
Like Austin Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like the daddy's boy, yeah. the sissy, the guy that, you know, just fake tough, all that. I think mm-hmm. even Rockets fans hated him.
Sure.
But the more you watch him, the more you hear him talk, the more you watch him D up, the more that you just watch his mannerisms and the way that he talks,
mm-hmm.
I think he adds some toughness to this team as well. And I just didn't really see that coming, but I think he did add a little bit more toughness. I think him and Tucker are the tough pieces on this squad.
He's one of the biggest surprises on this squad for me. I never doubted his toughness. I just didn't think he was that good, you know. But he's contributing, man. He's a big surprise on this team. I think he's one of the more likable players on this team, from a guy that you wouldn't like to one of the more likable.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, how do Rockets fans feel about Patrick Beverley now?
They love him.
Still?
They love him.
You sure?
Pretty sure. Pretty sure they love him.
Because he's been getting under everybody's skin.
Yeah, so is Jared Dudley. Did mm-hmm. you hear what Joel Embiid said about Jared Dudley? Said he was a nobody. I agree with you 100%. Cannot stand Jared Dudley. Astros back in town. They lost 2-3 to the Rangers. Gerrit Cole and Colin McHugh both took L's. Yesterday, the bases were loaded. Two outs. Astros down 11-10. Robinson Chirinos at the plate. He strikes out. The rally is killed. Astros had a chance to win that game. They were actually down 10-1 at one point. But this was the second time in less than a week where a guy that hits at the bottom of your order, Robinson Chirinos, who I love, and I think he's done a great job for the Astros. I think he's playing like an everyday catcher. But this is the second time in within a week where someone that you would normally, if you mm-hmm. had a quality bat off the bench, was the final out in what could have been a rally in a one-run game. And this is a problem that I believe the Astros have. And they're going to return to action tonight against the Minnesota Twins out there at the Juice Box. You would like to have a bat that you can rely on off the bench to come in there and get the job done. But because Tyler White decided to spend the offseason eating donuts and going to CC's and basically injecting grease into his veins, and he gained 15 pounds when he was already hefty, he's not that guy. So they need to get another bat that they can rely on, because Tyler White doesn't have the respect for his teammates and he doesn't have the respect for himself to come in shape and ready to go. It's a small problem. It's an easy one to fix.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, when a guy like Tyler White's going to come in here that out of shape, it's time to probably move on. And I know he's out of options, but bring someone else in. I love what you did last year, Tyler. You were great to us as a weekly guest. I don't think you'll probably come on the show anymore because of what I'm saying right now. But the reality is, you said that you were going to go out there and get in shape, and you're out of shape, and you're not hitting the ball. And because of that, I've had to watch Robinson Chirinos go out there and get the final out in one-run games because they can't count on you. Get it together.
I don't blame Tyler White for what happened yesterday. I don't blame Robinson Chirinos for what happened yesterday.
No, it's Robinson Chirinos.
Because they had no confidence. And even if he's, and he is having a good year.
He's having a great year. He's had a great
year. But that situation was tailor-made for bringing in someone off the bench to pinch hit. The Astros came back from so far back. That inning was really captivating. If that was like playoff baseball, they'd still be talking about it. It was really captivating. But that's tailor-made to bring in a Tyler White or a Tony Kemp.
Evan Gattis in the past.
Exactly. And the truth is, neither one of those guys is playing very well.
Kemp was already in, so I can defend him.
Right,
And unlike Tyler White, Kemp does other stuff.
Yeah, but he's batting like 156.
Yeah, but he had a nice play in the field yesterday. He comes in, he can pinch run. You're damn sure not pinch running Tyler White. Tyler White, you got to be better than this, or else just go get Gattis off.
They're going to have to make a move. They're going to have to make a move.
It's not working.
Maybe he'll come up with a mysterious ailment so he doesn't lose his option and somebody picks him up on waivers, but they're going to have to come up with something.
I just can't put myself in a situation where I'm Tyler freaking White and I play every day with Alex Bregman, the baseball messiah, Jose Altuve, the MVP of a couple years ago, George Springer, one of the best professionals in the league, Justin Verlander, a guy who's basically bitch slapping Father Time, and all these other guys, and I'm Tyler White, and I come in out of shape when I'm trying to take the next step in my career. Just doesn't make any sense. I'm just not a fan of it, but maybe he can figure it out. But I would recommend one thing. Paul Gallant's on the keto diet. Do it yourself, because you said you wanted to do it, and I'm tired of watching you sit on the bench, eat hot dogs while Robinson Chirinos strikes out and kills rallies as the Astros are looking to beat the Rangers. Now they're 4-2 behind them in the silver boot. And if you can't tell, I'm a little bit pissed off about it. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Sports Radio 610. Wacky possibilities for the NFL draft. We're 3 days away, 4 shows away from the Texans finally making picks. There's some crazy stuff that might happen. And I think Brian Gaines should be open to it. We'll tell you what it is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.